Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Most of the time in Phoenix, the visibility is almost unlimited. And because of that, some of the travelers who go from Phoenix to Tucson are surprised when they see signs, warning signs that say low visibility, caution, low visibility. But those of us who have been here for a while know that in the midst of a very clear and calm day, when the sky starts turning that sort of brownish amber color, usually in the southwest, that within minutes the visibility will almost be diminished to zero. We call that a dust storm. Those signs on clear and sunny days seem strange to newcomers, but to us, they are just a reminder of what can happen very quickly. I think that life is sort of like that. We go along and we're doing fine, and then all of a sudden something happens that changes our ability to see, changes our ability to relate to the things that have become commonplace in our life. Fear and worry have the effect on us that dirt storm or that dust storm has on the people that travel between Phoenix and Tucson. Life can be joyful until the blowing dust of fear and worry surround you and me, and then we lose perspective. The landmarks that we are so used to of God's care and protection seem to be obscured. At times, we feel forsaken and bewildered. We can't see beyond the present storm. The attitudes that we're talking about of fear and worry are very powerful tools in the toolbox of Satan. I want you to consider what that attitude did to the Apostle Peter. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'd like to begin reading in verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he wept bitterly. Attitudes of fear and worry. They bring to our mind endless negative suggestions. We look at something and we say, "I know that it won't work." We come to a situation that is frustrating or fearful and we say, "There's nothing that I can do about it." We're worried about not being accepted. We're fearful that it will hurt. And those kinds of things just fill our minds. And if we listen to those kinds of thoughts, Satan will feed us endless discouraging ideas. And you know why? Because Satan knows that we cannot be productive when we're fearful. Fear can claim our minds 100%. Worry is similar to fear, but it claims only a part of the mind. That fretting and that anxiety that all of us have from time to time divides our mind. It gives us a divided mind. And with that divided mind, we are unable to be wholehearted about anything. Worry eats on us little by little, like cancer does. In fact, I read from the pen of William George Jordan that worry is the most popular form of suicide. Worry has its symptom words too. What if? Maybe. How can I? Well, as Christians, certainly we don't sit around and finger worry beads, but we certainly may go around repeating worry words. Worry is a very real expression of a lack of faith. I know that's hard to say, even harder to think about and to accept, but worry is a real expression of a lack of faith. God has promised His care for us. When we worry, what we're saying is, I'm not sure that I can trust you, God. I remember reading in a book about Lou Holtz, the famous football coach, and he said one time, I know that you said that you wouldn't put anything before me, God, that I can't handle, but this time I think you've overestimated my capabilities. Well, God doesn't overestimate our capabilities. Fear and worry, certainly then, are different. But since the results are much the same, I'd like to talk about them in the same lesson. The Bible acknowledges the subject. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most known and quoted Psalms in all of the Bible. I'd like to read that with you. Probably most of you can either quote it or paraphrase it. The 23rd Psalm in the Book of Psalms goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That 23rd Psalm speaks of the areas that worry mankind. Food. Verse 5, drink. Verse 2, a place to rest. Verse 2, direction. Verse 5, illness. Verse 4, death. Verse 4 again, evil. Then it says that God will care for us in all of those situations. In verse 2, we read that He makes me. In verse 2, He leads me. In verse 3, He guides me. In verse 4, You are with me. In verse 5, You prepare. In verse 5 again, You anoint. And then the great conclusion, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus certainly spent considerable energy and time teaching about fear. That perhaps is best seen in the parable of the talents. If you have your Bible, let's turn together to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his way. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the one talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you gathered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I gathered scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to every one who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The 1 talent man was unprofitable, and that was for 1 reason, because he was afraid. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground, is what verse 25 of Matthew 25 says. What was Jesus' reaction to that? Verse 30, and he cast him out into outer darkness. One night, Jesus approached the apostles by walking across the sea. Do you remember the account? It's in Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 22. There the Bible reads, And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened. And they said, It is a ghost! And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And being beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, Jesus approached the apostles by walking on the water, and the initial reaction was that they were terrified. Jesus said, Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, when he heard that, he suppressed his fear, didn't he? And he set out walking on the water toward Jesus. You know, oftentimes, I think we're critical of the Apostle Peter. We think about the times when he cut off the ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. We think of the time when he denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed. We think of the time when Paul had to rebuke him to his face because of his prejudice after the gospel had spread throughout the world. But I would tell you one thing. Peter got out of the boat. I want you to just think about getting out of that boat for a minute. Lake Powell in northern Arizona is a lake that is between sheer and high cliffs. Anybody that's been on that lake when the wind is blowing knows what a rough boat ride feels like. The paper just seems every once in a while to have a story of a boat that capsized because the wind makes the waves on that lake so terrifying and so dangerous. That's sort of like the Sea of Galilee. It had terrible wind storms and waves, and the apostles were afraid. I want you to understand that they were fishermen. It wasn't their first time in the boat, but the weather was so bad that they were afraid, and then they look out and they see someone on the water, and how would you have felt? Well, I think I'd have been terrified also. And Christ said to Peter, "Come." Peter said, if you will call me, I will come. And the Lord said to come. And then there's a very interesting thing in that passage. It says that Peter saw the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? I would suggest to you that you cannot see the wind. You can see particles that the wind moves. You can see objects that the wind moves, but you can't see the wind. What Peter saw was the danger, and that brought about that fear that he had repressed. And you know what it did to Peter? It did the same thing to Peter that fear will do to you and I. It sank him, and it'll sink us too. Fear isn't easy to overcome. It reoccurs, and oftentimes it reoccurs unexpectedly. Martha was rebuked by Jesus in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, not because she was tending to physical needs, but because she was worried and upset. Fretfulness and anxiety hinder effectiveness. It doesn't matter if you're a homemaker, like Martha was, or a salesman, or whatever. Worry is harmful. In worry and in fear, we find the what-if syndrome. What if it rains? What if I'm late? What if I get sick? What if there isn't enough money? What if this is the wrong decision? What if my child takes drugs? What if my child gets hurt? What if I'm left all alone? What if my mate stops loving me? What if I make them mad? What if there was an accident? What if I have to relocate? What if I lose my job? All of those kinds of statements are borrowing trouble. It's borrowing trouble for tomorrow, and they waste time and energy and accomplishments that could occur today. Jesus addresses the subject in Matthew 6 and verse 34, where he says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Those of us who have lived the majority of their life know the veracity of that statement. Do you know that fear paralyzes? When Judy and I were first married, we lived in Whittier, California. We lived in an upstairs apartment, and my best friend, in fact, the best man in our wedding, was a student at Whittier College, which was only a few blocks from the apartment where we lived. And once in a while, my friend would come over and visit us at that apartment, and he knew that I had a white coat. So one evening, he was coming over to visit, and he saw what he thought was me coming to the stairs out of the apartment, and so he hid under the staircase. And when the figure got just about to the bottom, my friend jumped out and yelled. Well, it wasn't me. It was my next-door neighbor who happened to be the chief of police at Whittier, California. And he told me that if he hadn't been so scared, he would have shot Ken that night. Well, he was paralyzed, wasn't he? Well, fortunately for my friend. He was paralyzed, and he wasn't able to draw his gun and shoot. But I think that speaks to the example that fear paralyzes. Many of our most terrifying experiences come from a misunderstanding or from things that aren't real. How foolish it is to let any outside influence, real or imagined, incapacitate us to action. Another result of fears is that they're contagious. That's clearly, I think, seen in children, perhaps better than in any other way. I've read of a young family that moved into an area where tornadoes were prevalent. It was somewhere in Oklahoma. The children were used to mild storms where they were from, and in those storms there'd be thunder and lightning, so really they weren't afraid of thunder and lightning. They even, most of the time, continued to play outside even though the storm approached. But soon after they moved to the new area, there was a tornado, and it was on the other side of the town, and they could see in their mom's eyes the terror as she looked at the devastation of that tornado on the television. And the next day she took the kids in the car over to the area where that tornado had been, and immediately they saw even more fear, and then they saw the reason for it with all of the destruction. And because that knowledge was limited and understanding was limited, the next time there was just a common storm with thunder and lightning, they became hysterical and had to be even hospitalized. Well, you see, they drew a conclusion that wasn't correct. The thunder and the lightning that incapacitated them, terrified them, wasn't any more harmful than the thunder and the lightning from the place where they had moved from. Even adults catch fear or worry from others. The best way I would suggest to you to cause a financial crash is for a couple of stock analysts from Wall Street to start talking about doom and gloom. And that spreads like wildfire, and people react with terror, and they do things that are not productive. You and I need to ask ourselves the question, am I a carrier of the fear disease? Am I a center for the infectious worry that can incapacitate us to action? That fearful attitude is not from God. People try to overcome, and they fail. And it seems as though it comes to the point where they just accept fear as being something that's unavoidable. They accept worry as something that they can't deal with and just try to live with it. But that's not what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For the power of God has not given us a spirit of timidity," King James says fear, "but of power." Listen again. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." And what that means is we have the tools to win. Isn't it foolish to be afraid when we have more power than the cause of our fear? Well, time is up for today. I'd like to continue, if I could, the thoughts on fear and worry in our next radio broadcast. And until then, I want to thank you for listening to this Go and Teach Bible Study program. We've been on the air now for going on 3 years, and we've received many nice compliments about the program. We've had many that have listened to the program and come to visit us at our worship services. And of course, that's our aim, is to expose you to the Bible enough to pique your interest so that you'll come and study the Bible with us at the Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. That's just about a half mile north of McDowell Road, a little bit more than a half mile south of Thomas Road on 40th Street. If you're interested in spiritual things, we're interested in meeting you and discussing with you the most important topic that there ever could be. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.